The first principle that we talked about last week was the letter S is a selection. Okay, God selects who to do His will of evangelism. God selects men. Okay, and we know clearly it is God's will for every man to serve God. It's God's will for every Christian to be in the service of Christ. Okay, now today we're going to talk about a second principle. But before that, you have in your notes the association. A scenario, okay? I'd like you all to look through the introduction. I'll read through first. And that will take about 3 minutes, okay? And after that, we'll see some answers. Okay, imagine the Lord Jesus Christ was a primary school student. He was told by the teacher that he was to head the team that will represent their school at the National Day Parade. Okay? The practices would be done on Sundays, 2 months prior to the NDP. Okay? There are two qualifiers. Some people say, you'll probably ask, is the practice in the afternoon or morning? Okay, so yes, it will be in the morning, and yes, it will clash with church time. Okay, the question is this a fictitious scenario? But I want us to think through, personally, what would Jesus do? What would you do, and why? And then think through, what would Jesus do, and why? Okay, take about 3 minutes, okay, include the teenagers. I want you to think through this. Alright, this will reflect. We need to have some reflection time, okay? Okay? So take about 3 minutes, then after that we will just maybe people can shout out some answers. Okay? Okay? Or if you want to gather together to discuss, that's fine. Alright. So there will be things on Sunday. And then what would you do and why? What would Jesus do and why? Don't give model answer when you say what will you do, just share. Openly, what would you do? All right, let's all reflect because I will just arrow you to share. Okay, all right, just take about 2 minutes to think through this. Some points at the side you can write down. There's a personal relationship with God, but with regards to a church, God do have rules because we all live within the society of the Lord Jesus. Does that make sense? So there are certain rules that will help us to make sure the church grow in a certain direction. Alright? But so here, in the religious schools of Jesus' day, rules were part of conformity to an institution, but unfortunately, rules were also part of salvation. Okay? Just like the Pharisees had certain rules, otherwise, if you break them, you have to give an offering and things like that. Does it, any questions? You have to understand this, because otherwise, many Baptist churches have been accused of being legalistic. But I want to say that is never in my mind as a pastor as I teach. The impression may be, but I want to clarify that once and for all, we are not built on rules but the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And when the principles are given as a church, it is so that we can follow to benefit everyone. When people look at the current rules, okay, I'm doing do this because, not because of so-and-so say that I'm saying this because I want to be part and parcel of the Church of Jesus Christ that will encourage another brother or sister to walk the way of God. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I think some of you may know of churches. How many of you know of churches whereby the rule is very clear? Girls see one side, boys see one side. Alright? Some are very, very strict rules about whatever. And there are certain rules that we have to take it with a pinch of salt, we have to think. But certain rules are clear because we want to encourage the spirituality of the church, okay? Now, coming back to the point, compared to the religious schools of the days of Jesus, where there's a rigid conformity to the rules for the institution of the synagogue and salvation, the Lord Jesus was very clear. When it comes to your personal relationship with Christ, it's not a set of rules. Okay? Because all Jesus asked the disciples to do was what? Follow me. In your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, all Jesus asked of us is to follow Him. Church related is separate because there are rules. For example, in the council in Acts 15, Pastor James of the big church has to set down certain rules for the entire congregation to follow. Okay, but when it comes to your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we cannot mix the two. The moment we mix the two, we will have a confused picture. Okay? Now we just want to focus on our personal relationship with Christ, and the Lord Jesus' instruction is simply to follow Him. Okay? To follow Him. Why? I'll just read this. Because the truth of Christ are oftentimes caught than taught. I can teach. The Holy Spirit can teach us. But when we are constantly associated with the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin to learn His heart. We begin to understand Him more and more. Okay? Let's turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 13. This verse actually helps us to summarize this thought. Any questions? Any questions? Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Please feel free, right, to stop me. Like I just give the illustration. Like a child who imitates the father, each child of God will catch the truth that he or she needs to learn from God the Father in the relationship with Jesus. Okay, let's read Acts 4 verse 13. Ready? Acts 4 verse 13. Ready? 1, 2, go. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they have been with Jesus. I'll just read the points I have here. The disciples were not distinguished by their schools, but by their close association with the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when people look at you and they say, hey, which church are you from? Many times they ask, right? I'm from Ambassador Baptist Church, the kind of thing. Would they say, oh, I think you are a whoever, you know, are you with this? It's very interesting. Many times when you meet some American pastor, they'll say, where do you go to school? To them, the mindset, say, you go to this school means you're this kind of person. You go to that school, you're that kind of person. Okay? Like the reformer, are you a Calvinist or an Arminian? I'll tell them, no, I'm a Christian. Or I'm a Biblicist, because I follow what the Bible says. Okay? For me, it's interesting. I hope it is for you. In the days of the Jewish people where they always associate, are you with the Pharisees or the Sadducees? You know what? Those guys, the religious leaders were saying, hey, these guys didn't go to school. The only thing they realized about them, hey, they've all been with Jesus. The things, the life they have, the boldness they have, was because of their association with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, any questions? So Jesus stayed with them, and it's interesting, His life influenced them to the point that people can see. And that's an important point. Jesus influenced them to the point that other people could actually see, hey, that guy is different. There was something in the life of the disciples that was so evident. The Bible had to record it and say, hey, these guys are ignorant and unlearned. But you know what they have been doing? Those guys are sleep, I don't know what, eat, fishing. Everything, Jesus was there. And they have been associated with Jesus. The Christian get this point. Your life manifested to other people will only be very evident when we have very close association with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior is not a dead God. He's a living God. He's a living Savior that walks with us. Okay, any questions? Okay, the next point. The Lord Jesus, sorry, to know was to be with. Okay, the thinking here. To know God is synonymous with being with. Okay? Okay, truths were not communicated through laws, but by the living Savior. Okay? By the living personality, sorry, by the living personality of the Lord Jesus Christ who walked among them. Many of the children today carry the characteristics of their parents. Like it or not. Not just biological characteristics, but our habits, the way we do things, we carry along the traits. In the same way. In the same way. Whoever influences you as a Christian as you grow will be showed next time. You know, that's a very sobering thought. Because many times as parents we see in our children our weaknesses and our faults. And that's why as parents we need to strive towards maturity, strive towards constant perfection, strive towards wanting to be in conformity to Christ. Because the more we are with Christ, the more we have the ability to influence our children. If we choose no service for Christ, it will be not a surprise if the children will have no service for Christ. If we choose to constantly watch certain things, over time our children will also imbibe the same. Okay, it's interesting when I was young. No, when I was young, when Esther Joy was young, you know, the children like to read newspapers. And there was one time Esther Joy took the newspaper. I asked, Joy, what are you doing? Read newspaper, lor. Number one, she couldn't read. Number two, the newspaper was upside down. But all she was doing was just imitating what she sees. You will not double negative, you will not be able to catch the character of the Lord Jesus Christ if you are constantly with Him. In prayer, in Bible reading, in service, begin to do things. Say, Lord, what would you say? What would you think? And God, the Holy Spirit, begins to impress upon you certain things. To know what's to be with, okay? As far as the Lord Jesus is concerned, we need to understand this. If one says that he knows Christ, it means that he has been with Him. If you say you know Jesus, it means that you have been in constant association with Him. Okay? The invitation many times that Jesus would give to the people, say, hey, are you the Messiah? You know what Jesus oftentimes says? Come and see. Come and see. I made an interesting thought. There are 21 times in the Bible, in the New Testament and the Gospels, when the phrase, follow me, came up. Okay, so I go on Sword Searcher. There were 21 times, follow me, came up. Okay, of the 21 times, it was 19 times. It refers to the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the people, follow me. Jesus never tell them what. Jesus never said, what are you supposed to do? In terms of, okay, follow me, you need to do this. Jesus just said, follow me. The Lord's simple discipleship formula was that the discipler was that he was willing to be with the disciple, sorry, the disciple. If you say you want to find out, follow me. Just come and follow me. If you genuinely have a heart, Christians, can I say this? When we have a genuine heart to follow Christ, it simply means to follow Him. No questions asked. No questions asked. Just follow. No reservations. Just follow. No excuses. Just follow. And it's amazing to me that the disciples, when Jesus called them, the Bible says they left their nets. Nets is symbolic of career. I'm not asking you to leave your career, but sometimes God may ask us to do so. But in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus called James and John, the Bible says they left their nets and followed Him. Symbolically, they left their occupation to follow Christ, okay? In order to be with Him. To know Christ was to be with Him, okay? Now the next one, we talk about the practice. Any questions there? After I've summarized everything. Okay, let's turn to Mark chapter 3, verse 14. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. And by the way, the meaning of association means what? Just in case we keep talking about association, but actually some of the younger ones may say, I don't want to say what association. What does association mean? Means connected to, being with. Alright, just being with. Does it make sense? Like the old boys association means what? The boys get together, opportunity for them to get together. Okay? Association means coming together, being together, connected. Okay? Any questions? Alright, if there's any words, and I'm a bit sensitive about this word. If you don't understand the words, please ask. Okay, especially younger ones. Don't say, only pastor know all this. No. We want everyone to know all this, okay? Alright. Okay, the practice of association, Mark chapter 3, verse 14. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. The Bible says Jesus appointed 12 that they should be with him. We oftentimes look at the fact, oh, they appointed 12 so that they can be apostles, which is true. But in this particular verse, the Holy Spirit chose to put a very important principle for us. Let's not miss that. He ordained 12 that they should be with him. If you ever want to do anything great for God, you must be with Jesus Christ on a consistent basis. I read a point that I have. I think it might be in your notes. No, it's not. I'll just listen to this. The personal appointment to be in constant association with Christ is as much a part of their ordination commission as the authority to evangelize. I say again, I just explained this. Oh, it's over here. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Okay, the personal appointment. In other words, when Jesus appointed the disciples, the appointment to be apostles includes the principle that you must be with me. And that is why sometimes it's hard to disciple people, because they don't want to spend time. They don't want to make appointment. They don't want to make the time to grow. And so young believers, I know of some frustration of people who wanted to disciple others and they make appointment or that, they keep cancelling or whatever. You know, after a while, just leave it to the Lord, move on to the next one. Because it's not your fault they don't want to be with Christ. But you know what? God will bring that person in. You know, Christians, take away our need to disciple others. Put ourselves in the place of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Do we have a desire to spend much time in prayer with Christ? Do we have a desire to spend much time in the Word with Him? So that we can understand Him. I know we're all busy people, but Jesus Christ was never too busy to pray. Amen? He set the example for us. He was never too busy to be in fellowship with His people. He was never too busy to be in the presence of God. You know, as Christians, we're called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. In order for us to be a discipler, to win someone to Christ, it involves us being with Him first. Okay, so that is the, if you look at the trend of the New Testament, association with Christ is a very important starting point for anyone who wants to be a soul winner, for anyone who wants to be a discipler. You know what's the conclusion? The conclusion is it possible that many of us are not disciples? Many of us are not winning people to Christ because we do not spend that much time to be influenced by our Savior to the point we capture His heart for souls. That when we go out, every time we look for His souls. I'm not talking about insurance agent. Even insurance agent actually have a goal in their mind. Every time, apparently they are taught to think like that. When you see someone, that's your potential. When I was in a particular hospital, the COO says this. You know, in your service delivery to the people, you must remember anyone who comes into the hospital, you must look at him from a $25,000 perspective. From the time he has a baby to the time he has a gynae and all that kind of thing, it's roughly equals to $25,000. So if you have 20,000 people who come to your hospital, you've got $50 million. So you have to deliver service at each point that will help the person stay. So you keep the 25. That was how the COO was thinking. Yeah, and he wanted to transfer that. Have we gotten the vision of our COO, the Lord Jesus Christ, if I may use that? That His heart is to win souls on a regular basis. He's always out on a regular basis. Okay, the practice of association. The Lord, as a time, just another point, as a Lord, as a time for Him to go to the cross, you realize in the final week of the crucifixion, Jesus never let the disciples out of His sight. 24/7, he was constantly with the disciples. You know why? He's leaving. And He knows that when I leave, your salvation and my salvation is dependent on whether these apostles will carry out the Great Commission. Does it make sense? You realize the church is built, yes, on the doctrines of Christ, but also on the blood of the apostles. They gave their lives because they know if we are not faithful to this Christ whom we have been associated with, the future generations will lose the opportunity to have the knowledge of salvation. Okay, so think about that. Even in Gethsemane, when He was going through the hard time, the disciples were with them. And after the resurrection, an interesting observation was made. Do you realize when Jesus rose from the dead, no one who is unsaved saw Him? Only the disciples, only Christians, only those people who have trusted Him. Okay, only people who have trusted Him saw Him. And this is important because the disciples needed the encouragement that only a resurrection could give to them. If I trust in a Savior and Jesus says He rose from the dead, the unsaved people don't believe that. But the disciples need to know that they have a living Savior. Right? Christians, do you know that you have a living Savior? Do you know that God can help us through this URA thing? Because He's a living Savior. Do you believe God can help you in your career? And sometimes when God does certain things with your career and you're not seeing as much fruit or seeing a lot of fruit, are you constantly, wow, God is blessing me? Don't just think that. Satan can bless us too. There are many people I've seen, there was one particular person who was supposed to be interim pastor and he had a secular job and he actually said this, you know, Brother Johnny, we all serve God part-time. As a young Christian, I look at him, he's the interim pastor. Okay? And it was not a surprise that when he was called out to work, he would pass the pulpit to someone else in the church. He came to the point, he backslided so bad, he left the church and was wandering for 4 years until God dealt with him and that he came back to serve Christ again. And that's an important thing for us to understand. Is the resurrected Christ our Savior? He's a living Savior that can help us along. If the world has the attraction so strong and we are unwilling, we want to be associated with the world so much, we would lose the influence of God, okay, in our lives. Okay? So the practice of association requires us to be with Christ because that's part of the appointment. Some points, okay? Firstly, any questions first, up to there? Any questions? You understand the situation? New Christians, I want to encourage us. We live in a world today, we spend more time with the music of this world, the friends of this world, the teachings of this world, the occupations of this world. And I think one of the biggest reasons why the 21st century Christianity, even though we have so much information on Bible Christianity and teaching, that we are one of the weakest in the history of Christianity. You know what? It's not about the lack of things we have, the lack of opportunities we have. I believe very much the lack of desire to be with Christ. Do you realize Jesus waits every day to interact with us? Would you agree with that? Would you agree that Jesus waits every day for us to come into communication with Him, prayer, reading the Bible, so He can speak to us? But unfortunately, sometimes even on the MRT, when we read our Bibles, then something happens. What happened now? Then after that, you go back, where's my point again? Then we begin to lose that. And then we travel, okay, ding dong, next station, Khatib or something like that. And we begin to be distracted by the things of this world. We need to learn to just spend some time with Christ on a daily basis. Teenagers, I know you're very busy with your schoolwork. But is school that important that you will not even spend some time with the one who saved you from eternal death and gave you a brand new life? I share with, I think some of you know Susanna Wesley had 19 children. And he will spend minimum 1 to 2 hours in prayer every day. And I say, how is he supposed to do with 19 children? She had a formula whereby every time the children saw his mom with a cloth over their head, they are not to disturb the mom, because mom is praying. Okay, even the children are taught from young, when mom has the towel or whatever over her head, no one is supposed to interfere because mom is praying. Do we have that private time with God? Because you see, unless we are determined, Lord, I want to follow you. Because Jesus says, Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If that is true, many of us are not fishers of men because we're not following Christ as much as we say we are. I will share this statistic during the service, but in a statistic by one group, it is said that of all the, I'm not too sure, I can't remember the survey population, but the statistic says, it's American statistic as usual, but they said one thing, in American society, only 2% of all Christians have ever introduced someone to Jesus Christ. Which means 98% of Christians are silent about the Savior. Think about that. Let me ask you, were there an opportunity that you have this week to at least speak the name of Christ to someone else? Just think about that for a while. It's not a guilt trip thing, but it's just for us to reflect of perhaps, you know, the early church, every day they were telling others about Christ. Then the Bible says, not only that, God was adding daily to the church such as should be saved. Right? Acts chapter 2, verse 47. As pastor, my heart is for us to get back to what God says. Not just in what we know, but in our life practice. Because why are we Bible believers? Because we believe the Bible. And belief means belief in something enough to do something about it. That's a biblical belief. Belief in something enough to do something about it. You know, at the judgment seat of Christ, if I believe something, and Jesus says, do you believe that? I say, yes, Lord, I believe that. Okay, what's the fruit of that? Well, sorry, Lord, I'm kind of busy with my stuff. You know what the Lord will say? You don't believe that. Because if you genuinely believe in the Lord and what He stands for, then we will be doing as much as we can to fulfill that. Does it make sense? I want to drop these thoughts because as a Christian, we need to get past the stage of merely just sitting in church. We need to get past the stage of knowing that Christ wants us to be with Him, have an intimate relationship with Him that will manifest itself that other people can see. Let your light so shine before men. Are these scriptural truths that we know? Yes, right. Then why is it that it's not coming out? Why is it that it's not... I'm not saying it's not coming out. I take back my word. I think as strongly as it should, as the early church that exploded in evangelism, that exploded in discipleship, the people were growing on a daily basis, people added to the church and influencing society on every level, from the slaves all the way to Paul speaking to King Agrippa about the salvation. Rajani, there's one comment that said, Rajani, we live in a totally different era. That's true. But there's one thing I heard a man of God say, but the needs of the human heart has never changed. It's still a sin that they need a Savior, they need to walk with Christ. It has never changed. Okay? So any questions? Can I just drop that in as we think about our Christian life? A few points that, say, let's say you come to a point, yes, Brother Johnny, I want to take a step of faith. You're not accountable to me. You're accountable to our Savior. Just as I teach this, I'm accountable to the Lord Jesus. What will it take in order to practice associating with someone now? I want us to be clear. So thus far we're talking about connecting with the Lord Jesus, use the worldly term connecting. Associating with Jesus, spending time with Christ, knowing His holiness, His righteousness, His love, His compassion, and so that it can be manifested. So right now we're moving from that stage to the stage of us discipling someone else. Okay? So what does it require? Number one, it requires time. It requires time. In the life of Jesus, it required time to the point that even Jesus' devotions were interrupted. Okay? Because He knew that, you know, when He was praying, He stopped, the disciples came, Lord, teach us to pray. He was constantly to the point that He was associating that sometimes even His private devotions were affected. But, had in mind, because He was more concerned for the other person. Alright, it requires time. It requires time. And can I just focus that on, well, Singaporeans are so strapped with time, it's not funny. And I understand that. I understand that. I'm strapped for time too. I wish I had 48 hours a day. You know what that means? That means we will be stretched for another 24 hours non-stop as a Singaporean. Singaporean time is so stretched. We sleep the least, I think, in some of the surveys. Singaporeans sleep the least. And sometimes it's not because we don't have the opportunity to sleep. No? We'd rather Facebook, Twitter, go for supper until 2 a.m., 3 a.m. We'd rather do that. Okay? But can I say this? In the discipleship of someone else, it requires time. There is no substitute. In my experience, having first taught this again, but right now, we need time. Christians, are you willing to think about that? It's strategy needs time. Number two, the strategy can be missed for other more glamorous programs. As this strategy looks at the mundane day-to-day things. After a while, we do things often and say like, do I really have to do follow-up? I'll be honest, when I do follow-up with people, that's how I feel sometimes because I'm tired after a long day's work, that kind of thing. But I'll say, I need to go. It's mundane. It requires you to have, okay, that slot 8 to 9 with this person. The person's not growing, he's rebellious about certain things, but he's willing to spend time. Are we willing to go? Still that time. you know, it requires time. The principle that Jesus wants to teach, it can be mundane. However, it is the day-to-day items that people learn to grow. Agree? As we work with them on a daily basis. There are many Christians who are looking for the boost, the high, the excitement. If there are no big programs or few good things, the church is dead. But you know what? God's plan continues. God's plan continues. And then this strategy involves the whole church. The whole church must be involved. How is it possible for 12 disciples to teach 3,000 people? Have you ever thought of that? And they were all growing. Is it possible? There's a fellowship that encouraged one another. They were constantly in fellowship. They were constantly together with one another. What did that tell you about association? Some people choose not to be in church nowadays. Why? That's not the spirit of the early church. It's not the spirit of the early church. We need God's word to be central in our thinking. The local assembly is the means to follow up the new converts. Every member of the community of faith has a part to fulfill the ministry, but they could only do so as long as they themselves have been with the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Every one of us have a responsibility to the Lord to take care of someone else. Am I my brother's keeper? What's the answer? Yes. Every one of us needs that. Now, as I go through this, I know some thoughts may come, but Brother Johnny, you don't understand my situation. Yes, I don't, because I'm human. God does. Then take it up with God, personally. I'm just telling you what the scriptures teach, of how Jesus followed up and how the disciples went through. But if you really have a situation, then take it up with the Lord Jesus. He's your Savior, He's your Master. I'm just doing what He tells me to do. This strategy also requires genuine conversion and commitment of the individual Christian. If you are not converted, you will have no desire to lead someone to Christ and to follow that person out. That's not to put a discouragement. You have desire. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you look at the scriptures pattern, when Zacchaeus was saved, what did he do? He publicly told the Lord Jesus in front of everyone. Lord, you know there's repentance, and people could see that. The demoniac who was saved, Mark chapter 5, the moment he got saved, he wanted to be with Jesus. But Jesus says, no, go home and tell your friends. He went and preached. The woman at the well, when he got saved, went and told the whole city about the Savior. Is he not the Messiah? No, we may not be in full time, but we can certainly tell someone, right, about Christ or share the gospel. Okay, some concluding thoughts. Any questions? First question I have for you, who is influencing your life? Who is influencing your life? Is our own comfort? Is the world? Our friends? The books that we read? The internet? Or the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about that. Who is influencing your life? Can I, as your pastor, say Jesus must be the main influencer in your life on a regular, daily basis? He has to. Because He's your Lord, He's your Savior. He's the one who bought your soul from the pits of hell. Your careers, one day you will retire. Your Christian life, you will never retire. There's no expiry date, amen? There's an expiry date on how much you can do. But there's no expiry date on your Christian life. Who is influencing your life? In 1 Corinthians 15:33, let's turn there. Okay, let's turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15:33. I'll just read in 1:33 and 34. First Corinthians 15:33-34. Let's read together. Let's read verse 33 first. Okay, ready? Ready? 1, 2, go. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners. If you have a heart to serve God, but you're in association with things which are not of the Lord Jesus, over time begins to corrupt your manners that you're supposed to have. Notice in verse 34 though, Paul then tells these people, awake to righteousness. Wake up to the right things. Wake up to the right decisions you need to make. Give up what you think. Follow what the Lord wants. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Why? For some have not the knowledge of God. Some have not the knowledge of God. You know what Paul is telling the Corinthian church, guys? You guys have been associating with the idolatrous culture of that day. They were involved in, you know, the immoral practices of the temple, and they were doing all the kind of things. No one said, guys, these are corrupting your thinking. You know what he says? Awake to righteousness. Do the right thing. The reason for that is because some have not the knowledge of Christ. There are still some people out there, our loved ones. Can I say this? As much as we may share with them, you know, there's one thing that I'm learning about my own life. I'll share with you. I constantly ask myself, when there is no breakthrough in someone's life, Lord, why don't I have the power to do that? I ask myself constantly, why can't I influence someone for Christ? When I speak to a person and he moves the other way, many times, some of you may know, I share, when I follow up people and they walk away, you know what I ask myself? Why can't I influence this person? But you know what? God has been, year after year, this area need to get rid. I mean, get rid of that. Get rid of that burden. Get rid of that. Because the water hose can only be as strong if it's clear. Does that make sense? The water hose with the extreme power, the pressure, can only be as strong if the hose is totally clear. But if there are things inside, it will trickle out. Yeah, I do have some successes. Praise the Lord. I thank God for some people have led to Christ and be able to disciple. But I'm saying, why God can't I influence people to the point like the Apostle Paul did? I'm not as spiritual as he, I know that. But you know, Christians, can I challenge you? What influence do we have over other people? For Christ, not to make them feel good. Because sometimes, to make people feel good is to help them to sleep away from Christ. That sometimes we have to awake to righteousness and sin not. You know what God constantly uses? The last part for me. I speak this, Paul says to me, Johnny, to your shame. Awake to righteousness. Let me just conclude. I hope this would drop some thoughts for us. The ministry of discipling and training men is not easy. It requires constant personal attention. The Lord Jesus' example of discipleship should instruct us to stay with those whom we are trying to lead to Christ. You know what we do when we tell someone about Christ after that? Oh, I'll just leave it to the Lord. No, we need to constantly follow up. Constantly follow up. Last few questions. Are we concerned for evangelism? Are you doing it? I'm not talking about the set times that you will set. No, tracting is an opportunity. But are you on your own time also doing it? Tracting is just just like you come to church. I hope it's not true. I hope it's not true. But in some churches that I've been to, I know coming to church is the only time in the week they open their Bibles. If that is true, what about evangelism? That if they don't even go for the set times. Sometimes we deceive ourselves, I'm still doing it, no? If you don't even come. Yeah, you may be doing it because of time. If you have a lifestyle evangelism, that's fine. But you know what? If we are not even catering ourselves to the places that God, in the Reform or in the Catholic thinking, say those are means of grace, okay, for them, they're thinking. These are not means of grace. These are opportunities for us to just allow God to work in our hearts. That even when we partake of the opportunity, whether or not God blesses us depends on whether our heart is willing to follow Him. Agree? Just as God provides us opportunities. Are we concerned for evangelism? Are we concerned for the spiritual nurture of the individual? And then this is the only question I will ask, which I believe we have. Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to pay the price? Some Christians are not. I hope you will. Because I can tell you, the reward inexplicable. When you begin to see someone grow in Christ and take on more and more and willing to allow God to work in their lives and going through trials and going through it and overcome it and being strong. Christians, are we willing to pay the price? Let's practicalize it to an ambassador. Every teenager needs someone to follow them up. Every single one. Every young adult here needs someone to walk with them at least. Because there are many things they will not share. But would you befriend them? Every family needs someone else to talk to. Because of certain trials. Every child needs someone who will say, I'll teach you. We have to get past the Singaporean mentality. Oh, I've done my part. Just take off. We need to ask God, what can I do for your house? What can I do to help a brother in Christ? What can I do? There are many people here struggling with sin who may need someone. You know, I believe God wants us to change our mindset. At the end of the day, if our lives are so important that we won't allow ourselves to step out, God will say, after a while, God will say, you know what God does with those people? They profess godliness, but in their works they deny Him. There's no influence anymore, there's no power of God. It's not about seeing them, praying for them, it's about being with them. If we have been changed because we spend time with God, and we learn the principles of God, and a younger believer don't have that. Like Sharon will constantly need the attention of Sister Kim. Agree? Constantly. And as she grows up, Brother Denzel begins to hold out a hand, shake hands, shake hands, shake hands, shake hands. And now you put a hand, what you do? Why? Because someone taught her shake hands. Okay? Sadly, in some families, some children are taught don't call grandfather. Okay, unfortunately, on a relative, because of them, some struggle between. You know what the children say? Hey, call Kong Kong. Cannot, mommy say I cannot call Kong Kong. In Australia, I had this. I think I shared before. The daughter of the pastor actually taught this 3-year-old girl. Said, "This is your right hand, huh? And this is your right, this is your left." Unfortunately, he said, "This is my left hand." And I said, "See what you did?" You know, I kind of look at her and we were smiling. And who is influencing us? Christians, can I challenge us as a church? You know, we're just small. If the Lord gives us 500 people, we need everyone to be cared for. I can't do it myself. The youth leaders can't do it themselves. Those people in science, if they're not doing it, they need everyone involved. Are we willing to pay the price? The work of discipleship requires personal association that will involve the sacrifice of self-indulgence. In the follow of any individual, as I close, I said this before, I'll say it again. In the follow of any individual, there must be included into the approach a personal guardian concern. You know, when I look at Ethan, I won't just look at Ethan, how fast he can play soccer. I'll look at, have you been reading your Bible? Have you been memorizing your scriptures? Are you faithful to the Lord? Are you able to serve in some area? Would you take... And I won't be only looking at his behavior, I'll be looking at his motivation. Why are you doing that? Why do you want to serve Christ? Because as in the teen scam, remember, you can pass PSLE, that's your goal. But remember teens in the youth camp? Do you realize the teens came up with 10 different motivations why they want to pass the PSLE? Some say, I want to impress my boyfriend. Some impress, I want to honor my parents. Some say, I want to earn more money next time. Same goal, PSLE, 10 different motivations. You know, the only right motivation is I want to honor God with my PSLE results. The right heart must be. Why you come to church? Oh, Rajan, it's just a habit. No, two things. Number one, worship the Lord. Number two, bless others. Coming to church is not for ourselves. Did you know that? So honor the Lord is also to give. Every Jewish person in the Old Testament, when he came to the temple, is seeking the blessing of God, but they know, I give my thanksgiving. I give my praise. I give my offering to the altar. And Lord, you bless me because you are the sovereign God. Worship is us giving to God what he deserves and waiting for him to bless us. When we come with unclean hands, you know what God does? The high priest is killed. And that's the Old Testament pattern. Coming back to the New Testament, having been instruments, or rather not instruments, but having been recipients of God's grace, all the more, the grace in our hearts and thanksgiving should pour out in God, I'm here for you, I'm giving myself to you. Lord, whether you bless me or not, that's immaterial. As long as I can be in your presence to worship you, God, I'm giving you my thanksgiving, I'm giving you my offerings, Lord, I'm giving you my heart. Once we understand that, you know, serving Christ is important. Okay, coming back to here, there must be a personal guardian concern. To do otherwise is essentially abandoning the new believer to the devil. Any questions? I know it's kind of heavy today, but I know you have Chinese New Year, and I hope I didn't spoil your fun later on. But Christians, would you take this to heart? If you say, Pastor Johnny, I don't believe what you say, fine. Then take up the argument with God, speak with God. But if this is what is true, Ambassador Baptist Church needs to move in the direction that says, I will care for every believer that comes. And every believer in the church will say, Pastor, as you lead, we'll go. Unless you're telling me that this is not scriptural. I want us to think through. It's not what you think, what I think, but it's what Christ says. Okay, any questions? Any questions? And hopefully we'll take this to heart and just study the scriptures, think through, read through the life of Christ. Say, Lord, is this what, let be like the Bereans, welcome this one. Say, Lord, are you speaking to me? If you are, Christians, can I encourage you, associate yourself with him. Allow Christ to do the changing work. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time that people can patiently listen to. And Father, I pray that thy Holy Spirit will convict the hearts as you see how. And I know that you have spoken to me many times about why I cannot influence someone for Christ. Lord, I pray that all of our lives will be an offering to you. All of our lives, Lord, will be a continuous living sacrifice. That we will constantly be ready, Lord, to give parts of our lives to people who need it the most, even at the expense of our own comfort, our own priorities. Because that was what you taught us, Lord, when you came. You left heaven's glory. You relinquished the position you had. And you were able or willing to take form the form of a servant. And you were obedient, Lord, even unto the death of the cross, the lowest, most despicable method of persecution and execution. But you were willing, Father, to allow the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, with this thinking in our minds, help us to let the love of Jesus constrain us, that all our thoughts, all our lives will be governed by the love of Christ. That we might, like Paul, be a man totally, or a lady totally sold out to Christ. That the things of this world will no longer hold as much sway over us. That the grace of God, the mercies of God, and the needs of people around us. Lord, fill us with your love. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your word. Fill us with the example of Christ. That as we associate with you closer and closer, the love of Jesus will pour out and overflow in our lives. That, Lord, we will be able to influence others in our own way through your Holy Spirit. For the glory of God. And I pray for every rung of our church, the children, the teenagers, the young adults, the married couples. And I pray, Father, our lives will be transformed. We'll thank you. What you're going to do, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.